It's time to become a member of Playvolution HQ and Explorations Early Learning. There's a free option and three paid patron level options. All come with free stuff and ongoing automatic training and merch discounts. For as little as a dollar a month, you can become a patron. That supports our work and you get premium stuff like early access to fresh podcast episodes. Go to explorationsearlylearning.com/membership or click the link in this episode's description to learn more. All the cool listeners are doing it. On with the show. Out here, Bar Girl Podcast. Jeff Johnson with you live from Oak Haven along the Gulf Coast of Mississippi. Sam, back from Alaska, back in Hawaii. Sam Balch, how you doing, Sam?
Doing great. Having a good time. It's 5 o'clock here.
Sam, it's cocktail time here. And
word in Oak Haven.
Look, we're gonna here in Oak Haven. We're gonna talk about cooking with kids in a little bit. I think it's a great topic, but I had an incident, Sam, and
the way you say that without making eye contact is concerning to me.
The only way I deal with stuff that happened. The only reason I wake up in the morning is to collect podcast stories.
Jerry Seinfeld in that way.
Yeah. Anytime something happens, I think, even if it's not a good thing, and this totally wasn't a good thing, I think, well, that's the story I could tell in the podcast. But then sometimes things happen, and I think that's the story I could tell on the podcast, but should I?
Are we in a should I moment?
Well, this is absolutely a should I moment, but those are usually the most fun stories to tell. But then I think, well, there are some listeners, some longtime listeners of the show who will fucking love the story and it will bring a little bit of joy to their lives. And then I worry that, hey, maybe somebody, this is the first episode they listen to and they're going to hear this story and they're going to say, what the fuck? And that's not a childcare story. But I think I can connect it to early learning.
Okay.
We'll find out.
Okay, heavy on the bar and grill side is what we're saying.
Yeah. So, and just drank a little bit of rum. So here's the story. Sam, I've been riding. We've been down here at the beach. One of the reasons we wanted to move to the beach is I can ride my bike. I mean, it's just great for bike riding, right? I got about a 4.5 mile ride to the grocery store, and I got my little bag, and so I go to the grocery store, go to the farmer's market, bike to the fishmonger.
Glad to have a
fishmonger now. I mean,
that's great. Love that for you.
I didn't know that I lived so long without a fishmonger, and I didn't know how miserable I was. I'm going to go to the fishmonger tomorrow. I haven't called her the fishmonger yet. I'm not sure she'd be into that, but then there's lots of longer rides to go on too. So I was on a 30-ish mile ride the other day. And things were getting uncomfortable.
Sure.
I had some chafing going on, sure. But okay. I'm in the middle of the ride and I'm trying to make it back before the rain starts. So I just, muscle through it, because sometimes we're in situations we decide we're just going to power through it, right? When we should
sometimes
really stop
we do
and
that.
Make, mm-hmm. And then we
do
should,
that and
we
it's
should,
bad.
And you just stop and make adjustments and then go on. But we do it with relationships. We do it with our work. And I mean, okay.
You
so
do it
happens.
On your bike.
Sam, you're almost smirking. You don't even, do you want to guess?
Getting a general sense of what might be happening. No, please regale me with the.
No, go ahead. No, let's pause.
You've mentioned there's no reason to keep going. You've mentioned there's chafing. So I'm worried about that general area.
Yeah. Okay. So here's the problem, Sam. You chided me for not making eye contact earlier. So I'm going to make complete eye contact when I say this. Sam, I ended up with a blister on my sack.
Yeah, I did.
And if I would have pulled the bike over and got off the bike, and look, this is most of this. I mean, there's the ocean here, there's the beach, there's the bike trail, then there's a highway. And so, I mean, I'm just right out there, but I could have done any number of things. I could have leaned the bike against a palm tree, walked down to the beach, done some adjusting, got everything back in order. But I didn't. And that ended up with this very uncomfortable and for me, rare injury. I've never had. This is 53 years old. It's the first sac blister I've ever had.
Oh my God.
So is this something
you're, for that, I think.
Is this something your husband has ever had to deal with that you've heard of?
Not that I've heard of. However, I do have some questions. Number one, do you have bike pants?
Yes.
Were you wearing the bike pants?
Yes.
As I refer to them as poopy pants. Anyone who has seen someone wearing bike pants, it looks like you have pooped yourself. So I refer to them as poopy pants.
Because of the built-in padding.
I'm like, it looks like you pooed. Second, do you have any sort of anti-chafe cream? Any sort of?
Of course I do, but you were not set up for success,
my friend.
Yeah, well, I've gotten really good with the sunscreen, but I'm not really like an ointment guy. Brett, in the episodes that we've done, she went through her whole morning skincare routine with me. So I picked up a couple tips, but no, and I neglected to lube myself up. So I was inviting a chafe.
Exactly. You are living in a oppressively humid environment. The chafing cream is not optional. It is part of the outfit at this point.
Well, yeah. Okay. And so here's another opportunity to talk about early learning. One, when things get uncomfortable, you got to pull back. You got to make adjustments.
You
got to
stop or you're going to end up injured morally, physically, on your balls.
You're
going to
end up maybe an emotional blister, maybe a real one. I mean,
don't let it fester.
You've got to prepare yourself for the work too, which would be the lube in this kind of case.
Yes. Please stop calling it lube. Just call it anti-chafe cream, please.
But it's really lube, right?
Be quiet. I feel like we've reached another point in our friendship now. Me knowing about the injury to your nether regions. This is and all of these people listening to this podcast. Welcome to this club.
Well, you've recorded enough. Look, if I had to listen to Lisa Murphy talk about we've done two episodes of the show about hot flashes. So I've listened to
both of them.
Yeah, and granted, 95%+ of the listeners are of the show are female. So
listen to the pain that men go through.
Yeah. So I had this blister, and it's been a week now, and the blister's gone, and everything is okay.
Oh, good. That was a follow-up question. Are you well?
Anybody worrying? But it was.
I cannot wait to ask my husband about this.
It wasn't a huge blister. It was just kind of an annoying blister.
Cooking with kids.
I've got a question, Sam.
Yes.
Next time we're scheduled to record, are you going to be like, Jeff, I'm busy.
I can't.
Yeah, what I'm asking, is this going to be your last episode with us?
No, most likely at this point, now that we're in it, we're just in it, you know, like this soup that we're in, here we are. Like, what else could be done? At some point, you were bound to talk about your balls, right? Like, it's just inevitable.
Yeah. It wasn't even a ball thing. It's a sack blister.
Sure.
I mean,
sure. I'm not going to ask for clarification.
Yeah, I did. I did. I did do. I mean, this is the second time 800 plus episodes that's come up, because I thought I had a tumor.
That's important to check for. Any male listeners, check your testicles.
Yeah, get them checked out.
Ladies, check your breasts. Men, check your breasts if you have them.
Sometimes it's just a zit. Sometimes it's just a zit on your on your sack. Yeah, so that came up in an episode too. So this is listeners, that's not a lot of ball talk for 800 plus episodes. A
lot of ball. Come on, the ratio's very low.
Yeah. Yeah. Any questions before we move on, Sam? Any questions?
What kind of transition works best, do you think? Should we just dive right into it, or should we now preface by saying we're going
to? How do we transition from a sack blister to cooking with kids?
In the show notes, we need to write like cooking with kids begins at timestamp. Otherwise, we're talking about balls, and not playground balls, other kinds. So keep that in mind.
Not balls, sack. It's completely
sack. I'm so sorry. Apparently there's a difference.
They're three completely different things.
No, I get that part, but like when I think of the language we use, it's interchangeable to me. Yeah. Anyway, kids.
Just trying to be technical. So cooking with kids.
Cooking with kids.
Thoughts?
I love cooking with kids. What a fun transition. Oh, the listeners now have whiplash. So I try to cook. I'm thinking about like my current placement. I try to cook with my students every week. I try to do, since I used to have access to a kitchen, I don't presently, but I have like a hot plate and a microwave.
Pause for a second. Oh, speaking of cooking, hey, any listeners that are, I'm still convalescing. Anybody who wants to send me any baked goods or anything, because they feel sorry for my energy, that's PO Box 1008 Long Beach, Mississippi. I haven't memorized the zip code yet. You'll have to look it up.
But if you want to send me a blister card
or something like that, that could do. I mean, there you go.
Wow.
So yeah, cooking anyway, with kids.
Baked goods for Jeff, made by children, honor of his sack injury.
Or booze, you know.
I love cooking with kids. I try to do it every week because I think it's really great for a variety of reasons. I think it's interesting. Food is very motivating. People want to cook. People want to eat. So I think that's great. I think it brings so much language into things. I think it's a really interesting dance with cooking and baking, because a lot of times there are very specific steps you need to follow, right? If you're going to bake a cake, you are not going to have a good time if you don't crack the eggs. It's going to be rough. But there are other recipes that you can kind of play with. Like if you're making like a dip or a spread, a lot of times those things you can kind of do at any which point and it'll usually turn out relatively similar. So I think it's fun to play with that with kids and see like, what can we do where we're going to kind of do it in whatever order feels good? What do we need to follow an order for? What happens if we don't follow that order? Do you like this thing we made? There's a lot of great research that shows that children tend to eat more of what they make, even if it's something they might not typically eat, as opposed to something that you serve them. Like if you have the kid help you cut the cucumber, maybe they're gonna try the cucumber because now their fingers have been on it. Now they've been smelling it the whole time. They actively put that work in and they might want to taste it. We made lemonade a couple weeks ago with my students. We had a great time. They all hated it. It was so funny.
Was this lemon-based lemonade or was this the-
It sure was.
You had taken the powder stuff.
Oh, this was lemons. I brought in two different kinds of citrus juicers. So like the kind that you squeeze with one hand and the kind that you like twist and turn. So they could practice with those. They loved those. I had one kid that she just wanted to whisk. She loved the whisk. The whisk was so fun. And she was like, she was very careful about it. And she's not one that I had seen be like slow, like at the water table before, but she was methodical and slow, just swirling and swirling.
Do you like warm your lemons a little bit to get
I mix the water and the sugar first to like do like almost like a simple syrup, and I put lemon zest in that, and then we juice the lemons and then the lemon juice and then the water, and then we put it in the fridge. It was a lower sugar recipe, like kind of purposefully, because I'm like, yeah, they're little, and they hated it. There was one kid that liked it. He drank like four cups of it. Everyone else took a sip and threw it away. Ew, yeah.
Any raw lemon tasting?
No, it didn't taste.
No, I mean, were they tasting?
Oh, I did have at the end one kid ask like if he could eat, like he was holding up the like juiced lemon. He's like, you can eat it. You can eat it. I'm like, you can, but I don't think you'll like. It's very sour. So he stuck his finger in it and then licked the lemon juice. He's like, ew, ew. Ew. So that was a great learning experience for us.
My grandson Riker, when he was like a year and a half old, he used to eat raw lemons. He thought they were delightful, which I couldn't handle it.
Oh my God. That's so fun. And then sometimes we just cut fruit. Like I do like cut fruit and then like put it on like little kebabs. I consider that cooking. But no, we make fruit kebabs.
Do you let them do any knifing? What age do you start knifing?
Now, okay. I will say when I let them do knifing, like I start with like if you Google like sandwich spreader knives, I start with those because so they're serrated and they're not as sharp. So they can still hurt you, but they're rounded at the tip and they're very big. So those are way easier to begin with, especially for a lot of kids that might never have done cooking before. So I love using those. And then I also like the choppers, like they're wavy, you know, and they can like that you can use them to chop fruits and vegetables and cheeses really easily. I like to give them that option too. And then if I have a sharp knife, like if, you know, I'm cutting like the top off of something or if we're using a sharp knife, I will always ask them if they want to use it with me. And even when they use the more dull knives, I show them how to make a claw with their hands. And we talk about, you know, where are our fingers? Where is the knife? We have to hold it really tight. And I really enjoy doing that with young children, especially for the finger muscle aspect. Like I want them to feel how it feels to have your hands really tight, and really steady and holding onto it. So yeah. I've never had any issues with kids cooking.
No. And I, when I did, that looked like a bottle of wine. It looked like you were slurping out of a bottle of wine.
Water bottle.
Sure it is, Sam. I would do knifing. We used the sharpest knife I could find, but kid sized, because if you're using a dull knife, that's when you're more
it's way more
to,
dangerous. Yeah,
to have problems. And if they do get cut, then you end up with a cleaner cut that's going to heal better with a sharp knife. But I loved giving them things like onions to cut. I've got great pictures of some of our family childcare kids cutting onions and they're just like sobbing, but right. They don't want to stop cutting.
But they won't stop.
It's a great sensory experience, man. And
that's great. I got to remember that.
There's a chance to use a knife and it was great. Yeah.
And it's so fun. And I think for a lot of kids, they might not have that trust at home. You know, they might not be part of that life at home. So to show them at school or in your program, I trust you enough to give you this knife and to let you make your food. Excuse me. I think that's really powerful for them. And again, I've never had issues. Anytime I've been cooking with kids, if I've seen a kid get, you know, a little antsy, kind of seem like they're not quite ready for it, I ask them like, hey, do you want to do cutting? Do you want to do cooking? If you don't, you can go play. That's fine. I just don't want you to get hurt. I'm very serious about you not getting hurt. I let them use like hot plates too, like skillets and stuff, like on a hot plate and then like a griddle. I let them like flip pancakes on a griddle because that's always so funny and they enjoy doing it. And again, I'm right there. I'm not like leaving them alone. And they know it's hot. You can feel the heat. Most kids do not actively want to hurt themselves. So
yeah, it's almost like we're wired for self-preservation.
Yeah. So I think like I've never been worried about doing that with them. Like I keep a really close eye on them. And
yeah, I would have had concerns about some kids I got to be at the stove or got to use a knife here. I'm going to go home and do it by myself. So make sure the parents were aware of those experiences that we were having so they could, you know, do their job at home.
Yep. And I think that's important too, to show parents, like, I trust your child enough to do this with them. If you've been on the fence about it, you know, I encourage you to try. I encourage you to see, you know, have them help you chop vegetables for a salad tonight and see how that goes. Like have them help you stir the mac and cheese on the stove. They can probably do it, you know, I think a lot of times that leads to like really great realizations for the parents about, oh, look at all these things my kid can help with. This is so wonderful. We're having this beautiful bonding moment.
Yeah, and I like the idea of the hot plates or just the little singer, the little portable little burner things that you can bring into the classroom, because in some places, bigger programs and stuff, health department doesn't want you to have kids in the kitchen and that kind of stuff. But so you can have that stuff set up in the classroom. I like slow cookers too, because then you can mix the stuff up and you can have that in the classroom, and then you get that smell.
You just unlocked a core memory of mine that I had forgotten about.
Well, you're welcome.
A slow cooker full of stone soup when I was in kindergarten. And I now specifically remember smelling it throughout the day. Like, the onions, the carrots, the broth. Oh my gosh. And so, you know, we read stone soup and then everybody brought in something and we put the stone in the crock pot. And I remember it tasting mostly just like boring soup.
Soup.
Right. It was my boring soup. And I remember way more of the beginning of that day of like putting it all in and then smelling it and then watching it be ladled out. Like that was a really interesting communal experience for us. And I hadn't thought about that in a long time. That's fun.
Yeah. Yeah. Every time over the episodes, we've talked about this a couple of times and cooking and that stuff. But one of my fondest memories is baking with my grandma. We'd go visit like once a year. We spent a week or two with them on the farm, and she baked bread, and oh my god, she baked fucking delicious bread. But then that whole process, and I'm not sure we ever ate any bread that I know we ate bread that I helped with. I wouldn't have eaten it, but the whole process, and you letting it the dough rise and then kneading it down and then letting it rise the second time and shaping it to get in the pans. And it was just a robust sensory experience and emotional experience, because it was fucking grandma time, which was great.
Right? I love making bread with children. I can't at my current school because I don't have an oven, but I might try and like find a toaster oven that I can use, because I have a recipe that works like kind of like muffin, like in a muffin pan, works really well, but I love it. I love, because you know, you use the warm water with the yeast to activate the yeast, and it's got such an interesting smell. Oh man, there's always so many fun comments about that. I'm really excited. I'm going to go see my niece later this month. She just turned 2. I'm very excited to make bread with her. I have a whole plan. We're going to be together for like 3 days. I'm like, we're going to have so much fun. I'm going to be your favorite. But like, I love making bread with kids, and bread's also fun because if it's weird and lumpy, it still tastes like bread. So oh my gosh. One of my, a couple years ago when I was teaching at the rescue mission, when I was at a homeless shelter teaching there, we did a lot of cooking there because I wanted to do a lot of cooking with these kids that typically are not doing any cooking. So I remember we're cooking and we make bread and we're eating our bread. And I ask one of my buddies, you know, what else do you like to eat? What else should we cook? And without missing a beat, he says, I want to make peanut butter and jelly cookies and zucchini popcorn. And I said, we will make that happen. We will figure that out. So we made up a recipe for peanut butter and jelly cookies. And then we made up a recipe for zucchini popcorn. And we were just playing with food at that point, but in a way that we were learning about it. It was so fun.
Tell me more about zucchini popcorn.
Zucchini popcorn, what we did was we made popcorn and then we used like a cheese grater to grate the zucchini. And then we like stir fried the zucchini. So it was like not raw. And like a little bit of salt on it. And then we put it on the popcorn. They didn't like it, but they had so much fun making it.
Sure. And I mean, that experience is, and one of the reasons there's so much learning in that cooking experience is because it's so sensory rich. You have that olfactory experience and the tactile experience and the visual experience, and it's so much richer. So stuff is stickier. So all of the STEM learning that's going on is just kind of right there in your face. It's delightful. Yeah.
And I think, again, in the same way when we talk about like process art versus product art, like there's a difference between baking bread with kids, making the zucchini popcorn with kids, and everybody gets one gingerbread cookie and these are the 3 colors of frosting you get, and you're going to make the eyes and you're going to make the buttons. Yeah. And that can be fun. You know, there's some kids that love that. That can be cute and delightful, but that's a very different sensory experience than making the gingerbread together trying it.
You ever, I mean, that moment where you get distracted because you're in the kitchen with kids and you forget to take the chocolate chip cookies out of the oven and you get that burnt chocolate chip cookie smell filling the kitchen, and then the smoke alarm goes off and then you've got the not quite ruined but darker than you want them cookies,
darker than you want, and they still eat them.
Well, yeah, or at least taste them and find out that, oh, no, that,
oh, I don't like that.
That doesn't quite work, but, oh, I just tasted a little bit of chocolate, so maybe.
Is maybe this okay? Do I like this?
Yeah. And I mean, it's a great opportunity to experience different vegetables and other things.
I think it's such a great opportunity for me to practice like the art of sort of letting go a little bit, because I do a lot of cooking and baking personally. And then with children, you know, we might have, maybe we like wrote out the steps and like listed the ingredients, but if somebody is just going to take an egg and smash it in their hands, well, now we go with that. We figure out what we're gonna do. And, you know, they're still experiencing it all, right? Like maybe they didn't know that egg would crack so easily. We gotta slow down and give them that opportunity to learn it. So if you're not cool with mess, I can see why this would be rough for you.
But yeah.
I love it. I love the sticky and the mess. And then I love the, especially when we make bread and there's little footprints of flour on the floor, because they got it all over themselves as they're helping knead the dough. And then it just follows them throughout the room. I don't know. That's just very tender and lovely to me.
Okay. So I started making my own mayonnaise because I'm a fancy man, but it's great. I do it in a mason jar with an immersion mixer.
Oh, those things are so fun.
Oh, it's just like you got your 2 cups of olive oil and your 2 eggs and a little bit of vinegar and a little bit of lemon juice and a little bit of salt and a little bit of Dijon, and then but I get no kids. I'm going to write it up as a DIY project on the Playvolution HQ site, because it's a perfect thing to do with kids, except I don't have kid around to do it with. So I don't know if I can't. I mean, I can't go kidnapping neighbors, that would be wrong.
Please don't.
Yeah, I'm just gonna write it up as a thing. Maybe somebody else will try it. That'd be great. Yeah,
do it. I love making dips with kids. Dips are really fun, because that, and then they can like spread it on a cracker and try it. Butter is always a really fun one to make.
Butter's just great. Like, they're so exhausted with the mason jar.
Oh my god! And then they're like, "But I've been shaking it." I'm like, "Not enough. You gotta shake it more."
It's not butter yet.
Right. This is just cream, which we can eat, but you'll be very disappointed.
Well, I wouldn't be disappointed just eating
cream. I like eating cream, but you know, if they want butter, if they're expecting
cream
butter
by the gallon. Yeah.
Jam is really fun to make. Jam is fun to make for kids. Like a quick jam, not like a jam you're going to can. I don't can. Yeah. So I don't play with that, but like quick jams I do. Pickles are fun.
I just picked up some okra at the farmer's market the other day. Ooh. Sam, you had any okra tips?
My okra tip would be pay someone else to harvest your okra, because it grows very low to the ground and it's very scratchy. Dan and I harvested okra for a food bank once, and we made the mistake of wearing shorts, and our legs were just covered in little scratches.
I would never harvest it. Don't pick your own okra.
That's my tip.
It gets good and slimy, I guess.
It does get slimy, which is a fun thing to do.
Yeah, it's kind of. Hey, kids, we made snot. So all the measuring,
so much math.
What scares people away? The mess?
I think the amount of prep that might be involved, because a lot of times, even when we think of, you know, things we make on the daily, there are lots of steps to making pasta. Like if we're going to make pasta, that's a lot of steps. We have to think through all of that equipment that we need that might not readily be available in the classroom. There's a lot of mess, especially if you're using knives or anything hot. There's always that fear of like, oh, is this kid going to get hurt? Is this kid going to hurt themselves? And I think some of that does reflect on how we feel, like, am I comfortable using a knife? Am I comfortable around the stove? Am I comfortable talking to someone when I'm using a knife? Because that's a more advanced skill than just cutting, right? To be able to carry on the conversation when you're cutting, kind of do it as multitasking. So I think there are some people that like maybe aren't as confident in their skills right now or yet. So they might not want to venture over there. But even still, I would say, you know, there are so many recipes that you can start small, right? Start with, if you just Google no bake recipes, like you could kind of use that as your home base of like, what are some ideas of things we can make? Or can I make part of it at home? Like, can you cook the pasta at home and then have them put all the pasta salad stuff in it? You know, if you want to start smaller and then kind of gradually increase your cooking with children.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a comfort level thing. If you don't cook, you're probably not going to be into cooking with kids if you're uncomfortable with all the tools and the process.
But especially like if you're worried about like math and science stuff and you're like, my director is always on my case about how we don't do enough math and science, whatever that means, I would really encourage you to look into cooking with kids because you've got all those temporal words, right? Like next, now, after, in 10 minutes, in 20 minutes, you have to set the timer. You have to measure things out. That's all sorts of fractions. A lot of turn taking can be involved. So much counting of what you have and then cause and effect, making estimations, making guesses. Like it's all over the place there.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
it's very language rich too.
And it's so social. I mean, that would be my tip is you, it's not something you want to do with the whole class.
No,
it's you want to have a small number of kids. And even if you got to do the project over 4 or 5 times over the course of a couple
days.
Yeah,
I regularly do that. Yeah. Just break it up.
You can break it up because that it's just, you're just inviting chaos if you don't do it that way. And it's just great. So I get another bike ride story. I was coming back from like a, no injuries involved this, but it involves kids cooking.
Coming
back from like a 40-mile ride and I'm just dying. And I was going to stop at the coffee shop, but it's a Sunday morning and the coffee shop is too busy and I can't stand and wait in line and be all sweaty. And I'm almost home. And then there's off in the distance. Is that a lemonade stand? Oh, it is. And a couple of girls must've been 10-ish and they had a lemonade and brownie and cookie stand. And it was all homemade. They had that other sign, homemade. They'd made the brownies and the cookies, and they were all in the little plastic bag with a little piece of ribbon tying them shut, and the big vat of lemonade. And they said that we didn't squeeze it; we made it from a mix. And I'm like, oh, that's okay. Is it cold? And they hooked me up, and it was just delightful. I chugged my lemonade there and had my yummy brownie, and she's like, you want with or without sprinkles?
Oh,
I'm like, well, I'll go, you know, I burned off some calories. I'll go sprinkles today. She's like, good. Would you like a corner piece? And I'm like, wow, do you know me?
So she, right. She so up, many options.
She hooked me up with a corner sprinkle piece and it was just delightful.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah. So yeah, it's a good times here at the beach. Yeah.
If you work with older kids, that's a great, that like selling what they cook is really fun. Parents love that. But parents are also nuts about that kind of thing. They love watching their kids become little entrepreneurs.
And yeah. You want to have
donuts. They love that.
Yeah, you want to make some bucks at the center bake sale. You make sure the kids help make the stuff.
They love it. I mean, it's really great. Cook with children.
Yeah, don't ever eat the stuff because it's all covered in snot. Yeah,
be gentle about that. All right, Jeff, your favorite recipe to cook with children. Favorite recipe before we wrap it up.
Chocolate chip cookies.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's fair.
No,
I like that. Yeah. I like making mac and cheese with macaroni and cheese, not like from a box. I like having them like grate cheese and like do that. I think that's
really
fun.
Yeah. I like cooking stuff over the fire too. Cooking stuff on sticks over the fire. Does that count as cooking?
Oh, yeah. That counts as cooking.
I like that one.
Man. That's great. Now I want to fire pit at school.
Listeners, if you're worried that nobody will eat the stuff you cook with kids, just That's P.O. Box 1008, Long Beach, Mississippi. I haven't memorized the zip code yet. You can look it up. Send me stuff. I'll share it with my postmistress. It's not a really big post office. Sam, I'll take your advice in the show notes. I'll put that people might want to jump into the episode at minute 12.
Are you new to the podcast? Maybe skip the first part. Have you been here a while? This won't surprise you.
Are you eating?
Yeah. Where are you? Are there children around? Are you in your car alone? All right. Yeah. So you can listen to the
whole. Yeah. Well, thanks for listening. If you made it past minute 12, thanks for listening. If
you're a hero. Wow.
Yeah, great. We got to wrap this up. Any final thoughts, Sam?
No, cooking is fun. Everybody cook with kids. Yay.
That's my yummy. Eating is delightful too. Thanks for listening to us rant and rave. This has been the Child Care Bar and Grill podcast.
We love
your wait staff. Back soon. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Oh, did it.
We did it. So hold on. What is the first day of next month? I think I'm out of town.
This has been an Explorations Early Learning Upstairs Studio production.